Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC Members Call on the 8th of February, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Susan Calzucci.
Lisa Di Sola.
Thank you,
Susan. Lisa Di Sola.
And Aditola Sagdeesan. We also have Marcus Ecky on the.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, this is Marcus Ecky.
Thank you. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Claudia Felli. Please begin.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you very much for opening the call, and thank you, everybody, for being present. I just wanted to remind everyone that I sent out an information about the possible whiteboarding session at ICANN 61. For now, I have just Marilyn, who manifested her interest in this session. Please let us know by tonight, if possible, whether you're interested, and we will proceed to organize it. For the rest, we have a quite busy agenda, so we will start with Barbara, I think, because she has a commitment, so she can give us the update on the CSCG. Barbara, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Claudia. I appreciate everyone's flexibility. You have my report, which provided highlights of what we discussed at the intersessional. I would say on balance, it served its purpose of helping us to get to know the other side of the house better and to begin to build bridges overall. And I invite others to comment, though. I might give us a B minus, though. We had one eruption that we were chastised about that was not our fault. The eruption was caused by the other side. But in general, I would say a cooperative spirit prevailed in terms of discussing the issues that we did, in particular the meeting coming as it did immediately after ICANN's webinar on GDPR, who has enabled a more fulsome discussion of that topic. Steve led very masterfully, and again, a topic on which the two sides of the House weren't in total agreement in terms of the longer-term picture. But I defer to Steve. He can provide a far more authoritative summary of that discussion. We also were able to precipitate further action related to the transparency subgroup's report, which Steve also has detailed at the very end of the policy calendar. Basically, we pressed ICANN Legal concerning a proposal by the transparency subgroup via a set of minority views to develop guidelines that would be very clear about when attorney-client privilege would be invoked. Steve made very clear at the meeting that while he felt that the BC was inclined to support these minority views, we still had not followed our process and thoroughly vetted these views with all of you. So we invite you to read through the minority views which are attached and let us know how you feel we should come down on this, because ICANN Legal is waiting to hear what the BC has to say about this. I'll just let you know, give you a heads up, that one participant of the transparency group, one of the registries, VeriSign, is reluctant to support the minority views unless ICANN Legal is on board. So, you know, it's not sort of a done deal, which is why I think it would be important for the BC to make clear how we feel on that. I'm happy to take any specific questions on the intersessional now, or I can just move right into ICANN 61, whatever you folks prefer. I'll just move into ICANN 61, though. Again, this is, as I said in our earlier BC meeting, this will pretty much follow the schedule that we had at ICANN 60. CSG will have 90 minutes with the board, and we've already, you know, in terms of discussing this as to what we want to focus on among the XCOM, we've certainly, again, raised the importance of engaging with the board on GDPR. Who is? This will come, of course, after ICANN makes clear what interim model they will adopt. I also propose that, sort of in the interest of not seeming to complain all the time, that we ask the board how the BC, the CSG, might make our exchanges with them, both at ICANN meetings and intersessional meetings, more useful and informative. The goal would be to give the board more context to better understand our policy positions and hopefully respond more favorably. Claudia was supportive of adding that to the agenda, and I welcome every one of you to just feel free to let me know what other individual topics you would like to raise with the board during our 90-minute meeting as part of the CSG. If the other two CSG constituencies also want to explore GDPR, who is, again, I would like to propose, and I welcome feedback, that we follow what we did back in Abu Dhabi and maybe do a joint or a collaborative intervention at the very beginning of our session so that all constituencies, you know, expressing a common view concerning their concerns about GDPR, who is, and then maybe each individual constituency can explore one or two topics on their own with the board. So again, this is just an idea for me, and I welcome your feedback. Claudia raised expression of interest by the strategic group on having a whiteboarding discussion with us, and Steve's provided information on that in the chat. My only concern at this point is that, and if the BC wants to pursue this separately with the MSSI, that's great. We can follow through with that. But I think the MSSI is approaching every single constituency and SONAC, so that, you know, for example, they've also approached the CSG concerning participating in this exercise. So I don't know whether if the CSG is able to get a session with MSSI squeezed into the agenda, I don't know if the BC would feel this would be a duplicative undertaking. But I welcome your input on that. Perhaps if the CSG can't squeeze it into our schedule, the BC can pursue it independently, something like that. So I take any questions or concerns you all may have.
Hand up, Barbara.
Yeah.
Hey, Barbara, with respect to the whiteboarding, if CSG did a whiteboarding session, much of it would be to hammer into ICANN's head that the BC, IPC, and ISPCB are different. CSG
okay.
is not an entity. I know we would hammer them on that, and
okay.
I doubt it would have much more that it could cover. So if we did a CSG whiteboarding, we would still need to do a BC whiteboarding to cover BC priorities. But I wouldn't mind doing both. I wouldn't mind doing both. Thank you.
That's great. Great feedback. I'll have a CSG XCOM call on Monday, so this is all very helpful input for me.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. If there are
Thank
no other questions, I would leave
Claudia?
The floor to Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, Claudia, thank you. It is Steve. And while we still have Barbara, because I know she needs to jump to a call, I would ask everyone to just scroll to the very end of the policy calendar, the very last bit, is what Barbara was discussing with regard to the Workstream 2 transparency recommendations. This was covered in the intersessional, and what Barbara and I have done here is to summarize the three ICANN legal transparency requirements that we'd like you all to consider for having them not just in the minority report, but in the main recommendations that are currently under consideration in the transparency group. These are transparency standards or requirements for ICANN Legal when ICANN Legal decides they want to invoke attorney-client privilege or some other kind of confidentiality provision in order to not reveal a document that they have in the course of an independent review process or IRP or a document discovery request that could come from anyone in the community. So it would be great to have a discussion now on whether the BC would support taking these three elements and moving them from a minority report into the main report of transparency. So Barbara and I would like to have that conversation now if we can. It was circulated 2 days ago. Any comments from BC members? I will remind you that ICANN and ICANN Legal are not part of the empowered community. They're not one of the chartering organizations for the CCWG. So I guess it's important to know what the board and ICANN Legal have to say, but they are not part of the group that determines whether there's a consensus. It's the five chartering organizations that we use during the transition. Don't see any hands up. Are there any objections to the BC recommending that these three items on the screen be moved from the minority report to the main report? Barbara, I don't see any objections, so I think we can let them know. I have already reached out to the ISPs and the IPC to ask them their opinion since I represent the CSG at the CCWG plenary. Boy, that's a lot of initials and acronyms.
Okay, and then if it's okay with you, Steve, I will reach out then to Michael Karanikolas, who was my co-lead for that transparency discussion, and convey that to him copying Sam Eisner. Is that, would that work?
I think so. And please convey the text that I used to summarize what they did, because they may say that I didn't summarize it properly, but we did attach the entire minority report, which is only a little over a page long. So you can just cut and paste from the email. Ben has his hand up.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Ben.
I apologize. I was a little slow getting my hand up. Has there been any request or suggestion for privilege? You mentioned documents specifically being withheld on attorney-client privilege. Has there been any request for a privilege log at all with regard to documents?
Yeah, this is when you said, is there a request, there is no specific instance under which we are pointing to. This is our last chance through the transition, Ben, when we have a certain amount of leverage to force accountability and transparency improvements on ICANN. It's our last chance. So this is a theoretical, not a specific case involved. We are trying to raise the bar so that ICANN Legal has a high bar to reach before it decides to deny access to documents on the basis of privilege. I don't even know if that answered your question.
No, that's okay, it did. I would just respectfully suggest that a privilege log is one of the best ways to keep them accountable for what they claim are attorney-client privilege documents, which generally is a pretty narrow category of documents. So I would suggest that you might want to think about adding a fourth point, which is that if they're going to withhold documents on attorney-client privilege, that they have to be required to provide a log.
Let's check the that's a great idea, Ben, but I believe that the earlier document, the main body of the recommendations, may include a requirement for them to document instances where they cite privilege. But let's check on that. Barbara and I will do that. Thank you, Ben. Any other hands? Okay, let's scroll to the top of the policy calendar. We only have two open public comment periods, so this will go rather quickly today. I simply wanted to acknowledge and thank the BC volunteers who made it possible for the BC to crank out six comments since our last call, and they're the first six you see on the screen. Starting on the 18th of January, we did questions to ICANN Legal on their GDPR process and selection methods. And we thank Tim Chen, Alex Deacon, Mary Ellen Callahan, Margie Milam, and Faisal Shah. And then on the 28th of January, we requested ICANN to extend the comment period. They did not. On 29th of January, on the deadline, we did comment on ICANN's proposed interim models, and Alex Deacon, Margie Milam, Mary Ellen Callahan, Tim Chen, and David Ferris contributed to those comments, where we said we preferred Model 1, but could live with Model 2 once there's a standardized, centralized means of authenticating who is accessed. And on February 1st, when we were out at the intersessional, that morning, the BC and the IPC sent a joint letter to the Article 19 Working Party, where we laid out a story, a narrative, if you will, of why who is necessary for legitimate purposes, and it was written to help the DPAs understand how businesses use who is to protect consumers and thwart cybersecurity threats. Many thanks to Tim Chen for adding the cybersecurity angle. BC members will recall that we've been working on this for months, but this was an opportunity to give a clean, simple narrative to the DPAs in the working party, since there's no reason to suspect that staff or members of the working party DPAs would drill into ICANN's reading lists or the BC's comments to find things. We have to spoon feed these things in a way that's digestible, and that's what we did. On February the 1st, as well, we did another comment, which was on ICANN's proposed changes for the meetings strategy. These are changes ICANN had in mind for adding a day or changing the configuration of two of the three ICANN meetings. Marilyn Cade, Michelle Chaplow, Aaron Ola, Christian Bope, and Tola all contributed to that, and then I did some significant editing. Thanks for your help. And finally, on February the 2nd, we filed comment on ICANN's changes to the operating standards for those specific reviews. Those are things like the review of the new GTLD program, the review of who is in RDS, the review of accountability and transparency, and finally the security, stability, and resiliency reviews. Faisal Shah led that effort. Susan and I helped along with Marilyn Cade and Lawrence. So great work by the BC. We, again, go over the top with respect to how many we crank out. Turning to the comment periods that are open right now, I'll just scroll down a little bit here to channel bottom here. There are two open public comments that I wanted to bring to your attention. The first is on the FY19 operating plan and budget in a five-year update to the operating plan. These comments close the 8th of March, so we have some time, about a month. Jimson, I know you've been our fearless leader on budget analysis and comment, and I certainly want to first turn to see whether Jimson would like to lead the way on drafting one for ICANN. In fact, Jimson has already begun, as he says in the chat. Let me try to solicit a couple of volunteers who would help Jimson in drafting the BC comment on the budget.
I did try with volunteer.
Could not hear that.
I did Tola.
Okay, Tola, thank you. And
yes.
Tola, what you need to start by actually reading the ICANN operating plan, and it's long. It's 190 pages. So Jimson can help point you to the executive summary of that document and parts of it where Jimson, I think, could use some assistance in figuring out the BC's commentary. And Finance Committee, thank you, Jimson, for reminding me that the Finance Committee will help you. And thank you, Tola. All right, the other open public comment period, number two on the screen in front of you, is that ICANN plans to restart the process for doing the rollover for the key signing key. This is for a cryptographic key that's on the roots table, a top-level root table that's distributed around the world, and it has a key signing key that enables that table to be secured through DNSSEC, that's DNS security extensions. Every several years, that key itself needs to be rolled over and changed, and they delayed that last fall for reasons that are explained in ICANN's postponement. They got acceptable criteria comments, and then their new plan is now open for public comment. So this is a comment we would file on ICANN's new plan for the key signing key rollover. Let me ask BC volunteers to see if they can help to understand that. It's a relatively brief plan and shouldn't be very difficult at all.
This is Denise. I'd be happy to help.
And this is Susan. I'd be happy to help, too.
Great. And Denise and Susan end up being carrying way too much of the load on public comments and leadership, both at council and on review teams. So let's have at least one more BC member volunteer to help Susan and Denise, please. Hey, Stephanie, fantastic. See if somebody on Google's technology side can help. Thank you, Stephanie. All right, I want to turn things over to Marie Potulo and Susan Kawaguchi to cover Channel 2, which is the GNSO Council. Before I do that, I'll remind all of you that I prepared a Google Doc summarizing all of the key documents for GDPR and WHOIS. And the link to that document is right there on the top of the policy calendar. It's a Google Shared Doc. If you see things that I'm missing, please let me know and I'll add them. But I've got graphics in there from the timeline we proposed, ICANN's chart of models. I put in the slides we presented at the intersessional on GDPR, and I actually added Tim Chen's comments on the latest European Commission letter that came over 2 days ago. So I found that it was rather cumbersome to jam all that into the policy calendar, So now we'll have a live document that any of you can reach on any event with internet access. If you see that I need to make changes, let me know. And again, that's a document that's available all the time as a Google Doc. Susan, I'll turn it over to you and to Marie.
Thanks very much, Steve. And Marie, jump in anytime you, if I leave anything out or you just want to comment. So Marie and I were in ICANN offices last week for 3 days for a GNSO Council strategic planning meeting, which was extremely timely. You know, this was a special request for funding last year, and James Liddell proposed this. Usually the GNSO Council only has a day after the fall meeting where we get to know the new counselors or the new counselors get to know us, and they will sorry, somebody ring my doorbell. And they but James realized that we needed more planning to be done because of the IANA transition, and so we received funding from ICANN for 3 solid days. We used every minute of it, and I think some good work came out of it. A lot of follow-up will be done. One of the key areas was the empowered community has now, GNSO Council has new roles and responsibilities that we're trying to define and understand. And an example of that is the review team selection. So the SOs and ACs all get together as part of the empowered community. And in my opinion, personal opinion, this isn't working so well. So refining how we work with the SOs and ACs was a large topic of discussion. The other that we spent a lot of time on was the role of the liaison from the GNSO Council to the PDPs. Each PDP is assigned a liaison from the council. This has been very lightweight, sort of checking in, you know, let us know if you have any problems or concerns. And I'm sure as you're all so involved with PDPs, you have seen issues with several of the PDPs and people having a hard time sort of getting along and then agreeing. And so the curative rights PDP right now, which I happen to be the liaison for, is actually we have one of the members invoking part of 3.7 of the bylaws or the GNSO rules to have actions of the co-chairs reviewed. So that has not happened in a long while, so we're going through that process. But even the RPM, the RDS, and I think the subpro group have had issues where the Ombudsman needs to come in. So we're seeing a different level of interaction. Larger groups sometimes make it harder to, you know, we're lucky that we have a lot in the community that participate, but that also brings a larger management role to the GNSO. So we spent a lot of time on those two subjects. Also just sort of getting along with the other sides of the house and of both houses and, you know, going over what we were planning for the next year. Marie, is there anything to add?
Thanks, Susan.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I suppose the main thing that I would add to what you said would be to extend a bit about the comment on PDPs. Beyond the liaison, there have been a number of issues with timelines, a number of issues with certain working group members choosing to obfuscate and filibuster and fill up mail streams with not so much inappropriate but useless comments. So there's been a discussion as to how council can talk with the leadership of the PDPs to see maybe if we can develop some kind of white paper, some sort of guidelines. Obviously, this is not, and I underscore that, council taking over. It's council trying to work with leadership to manage the process, to make it more effective, more transparent, more efficient, and above all, to make it more rapid when that's possible, when it's appropriate. Another discussion we had at some length, which was kicked off by Urim when he came to speak to us, was the infamous budget. Gone are the days of out of the ICANN offices.
We have to watch what we're spending. We have to make sure it's being spent correctly. There are a couple of side discussions on that. There are some relatively simple ways to ensure correct budget management. One of them I put in the chat already, in that there are certain programs that are almost blanket funded, but we don't come back to revisit them a year later, 18 months later, to find out if the money was well spent, were there KPIs, is there a decent return on the investment. So again, a high level management, if you like, to make sure that we're keeping an eye in realistic terms as to how finance is being dealt with.
Holly,
I think that's all, unless I've missed something, Susan.
Nope, I think that was good review. The agenda for the council meeting won't be out until Monday for the next one.
Thank you, Susan and Marie. If there are no hands up or no comments, I will call on Jimson to give your update.
Thank you very much, Claudia. And let me use the opportunity to really thank Steve for all the hard work, especially taking us up on the GDPR and all the processes. And also to our councillors and the chair, thank you very much, especially again with regard to all the inputs leading to the success of the intersessional. Well done all. I also like to add my voice to our need to get briefing on the MSSI whiteboarding. So I think it's a good thing for us to brainstorm on those initiatives. Now, to my report, we have submitted 4 budget requests to ICANN as the chair, Claudia, circulated to members on the list. That was early this week. BC officers travel for 3 officers. And you can recall that the 4th officer, we have to take care of the funding for the 4th officer. You approved that earlier. And another request we made was for ICANN to continue to support our outreach efforts with regard to printing of outreach materials. Like, they've always been helping printing our newsletters. Currently, we're preparing the newsletters for ICANN 61 to be in English and also with translation to Spanish. So if there's any last-minute article that anyone wants to contribute, we could still take it now between now and tomorrow. So we submitted a budget request on that so that in FY19, ICANN will continue to print our newsletters while we do the design. BC pays for the design itself. And the third budget request is on leadership development, especially for potential leaders from developing countries. This particular request is to further strengthen the onboarding of business leaders from developing countries in particular. Then the last budget request is with respect to the need for BC to increase its engagement at the IGF. A number of BC members usually attend IGF, but it would be good for us to have a workshop and then have opportunity for outreach at the IGF as well. So we've put in a request in that regard. Currently, the NCSG, I think NCUC, they have established booths at IGF every year, and also they do have some workshop they conduct themselves. So those are the 4 budget requests. On BC officers travel, 3 officers, outreach material printing, leadership development, and IGF 2019 workshop and engagement. Well, the others with regard to crop, that is already in the main ICANN budget. Crop is the community regional outreach program. So that one is already in the budget. And we'll be talking more about the outreach. I believe maybe Andrew will be on the call so that he can talk more about the outreach plan for San Juan. Next is on reserve fund. You can recall that reserve fund is really concerned to everyone, and Marie mentioned something in that regard not too long ago. So we put in a comment when the ICANN published the policy on the reserve fund, and the summary of all the inputs have been published. You can recall we pushed for 17 months, that there should be 17 months reserve, basically, between 12 and 17 months. But from what I could gather, NCSG suggested a minimum of 24 months, a minimum of 24 months. And just for your information as well, a number of ideas were proposed with regard to how the reserve fund could be replenished. And this stems from the use of the auction proceed, okay, and also maybe the new GTLD funding could also be used, and so on and so forth. So, but the final decision is yet to be taken on this. But all those that contributed underscore that there is need for ICANN to have a sufficient fund in the reserve to mitigate any risk. Next, I want to just mention about the RFP sent to the list, just to provide more clarity on that. We do not want to be taken on our way with regard to our data, our website, so that's why we're looking at ways of having a backup plan. Part of a backup plan is to have to have a contractor take care of possible risk if there is a challenge with website and data with member clicks. So if there is any question with regard to that, please, I'm ready to take it. But feel the ESCOM field is necessary for us to have a backup plan for our data. And I'm happy to inform us that we've filing a tax compliance requirement as a not-profit organization. So our legal counsel, you can recall that we have a legal counsel, so he's been quite forthcoming and has been very responsive. So we've done the filing to ensure that we are in full compliance. Okay. That is all about what I have to report to you. There is a plan, as I mentioned, for outreach in San Juan, ICANN 61, and Andrew Mark is leading that. I don't know if Andrew Mark is on the call or anyone in the outreach committee to could speak on that. So while I wait for input on that, maybe there's any question. Is there any question concerning this report?
Jameson, I don't see hands up.
Okay, so maybe we'll have that report at the next meeting. Andrew will provide an update for us on the plan for outreach in San Juan. So on that note,
I can reach out to Andrew and ask him.
Okay.
Thank you, Jameson. I'll try to reach out to Andrew and see whether he can provide a report either to the next call or in written so that we can distribute to members. I don't know if there are any other points or anyone that wants to share something with the group. Please raise your hand now. So it seems there is no one. The next meeting will be on the 22nd of, yes, I have Steve. Steve, please.
Thank you, Claudia. Hey, I've become aware that the U.S. Commerce Department, NTIA, they represent the U.S. government on the GAC. That is their only special relationship. There's no different than any other government anymore. But they are convening a new notice of inquiry. They call it NOI in the U.S., a notice of inquiry, where the Commerce Department is going to be asking the public for ideas on initiatives they might undertake. And those initiatives are broad-ranging. They were discussed by David Reddle, the NTIA administrator, State of the Net last Monday. And they include things like cybersecurity, multi-stakeholder model itself, IGF, artificial intelligence, who is, and GDPR. And it will also include a question in reaction to some members of the U.S. Congress who wanted to see whether the IANA arrangement could be pulled back. There's very little prospects that ICANN would ever enter a brand new arrangement in a voluntary way, and yet you never know what kind of ideas somebody might come up with. So that question will be in the NOI, the Notice of Inquiry. It would be one of 20 or 30 questions. It should come out probably next week. It's a 45-day public comment process where anyone from anywhere in the world can submit a comment. So I wanted to make sure people knew that was coming. I'm not particularly concerned about it, but I didn't want everybody to be blindsided by it. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And also as an information point, because I forgot before, but the who is GDPR was discussed during the Information Society dialogue between the European Commission and the U.S. government when they came to Brussels last week on the 31st of February and 2nd of February. I don't have yet the reading of the meetings, but the U.S. mission should reach out to us as American Chamber of Commerce, and they should tell us what it was said in the meeting. So if I find out anything, I will, of course, let you know. And Jimson, you have the hands up as well. Jimson, are you there?
Oh, yes. I also wanted to update members with regard to the outcome of the last meeting of the United Nations Commission for Science and Technology Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation in International Public Policy Matters Pertaining to the Internet. Mary Lee and I, we members of the working group, where two of us are the five business representatives in that working group. The working group was to see how the Tunis agenda can be realized with respect to government having opportunity to make policy and determine policy direction concerning the internet. Unfortunately, the group could not come to consensus on how it should go because some government feel that there should be a new United Nations institution, a new mechanism entirely to govern internet public policy issues. But at the same time, a number of other governments and business, we do not favor a new institution mechanism like the ITU. So the old session was deadlocked. So as it were, the second working group did not record any success with regard to what is expected the working group to come up with. So we could not have any consensus. So just to let you know, that was deadlocked. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. Steve, if you see your answer.
Thank you, Claudia. During the call, I did a bunch of research, and the actual recommendations of the Workstream 2 transparency report don't include things like a 10-day limit on DIDP requests, nor do they include a privilege log. So these were not items that were in the report, and unfortunately, many weeks ago, the BC missed the chance to add those items to the report when we commented on it. So I'm very grateful for Ben coming up with something at this point, but we are late at coming up with these comments. So it will have to be something we tie to an earlier thread to suggest that we're clarifying or slightly expanding on something. So Ben, if you're still with us, I would like you to follow that link I did to the Transparency Maine report, please. It's on the bottom of the chat. And Ben, if you can find a way we can work your 10-day DIDP request in as something that's a clarification and a slight expansion, then we'll have a chance at pushing for it. But that comment period finished, and we are now in a state where we're trying to assemble all nine of the Workstream 2 threads into a giant report that would then be approved by all of the chartering organizations in ICANN. And we were trying to get that done during 2018. So that is not a place where a small one-off ad can be done very easily. So, Ben, I'll appreciate your feedback, and thank you for letting me know in the chat that you'll do that. That's all I have, Claudia.
Thank you, Steve. Any other points from other participants? Okay, if there is nothing else, we'll close the call, and I'm just reminding you that the next call is on 22nd of February. And thank you, everybody, for participating.